Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Thursday, April 28th, 2016. Yes, normally we have James Corbett from the Corbett Report joining you for the two segments of the program, but Al, his family, James and his wife are expecting. She's due any day, I guess, and he's going to take a couple of weeks off. They're expecting a little girl, so that's all nice and exciting. So we'll keep everyone posted on that when she actually has the little girl. So you have Alfred and myself for the full hour today and until James can make his return. And again, April 28th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Good afternoon, Melody.
You're going to miss James?
No, I miss having the day off.
Okay.
I interview him at night, of course, and the program, my segment, those two segments of the are rebroadcast usually on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
What I miss is having the day off. That's what I miss.
Well, gold didn't miss today. It was up 21.30 right now in the New York spot at 1268.10. We have silver up 36 cents at 1767. Platinum was up 25 at 1056. And we have palladium up 12 at $626. And of course, the negative tone was the USDX was down 0.69 at 93.71. 93.71. And, of course, a lot of the market turmoil came from the Bank of Japan last night. They decided to keep rates unchanged. Everyone was anticipating more stimulus, and they didn't get it. And so the Bank of Japan governor, he did leave the door open if it was necessary, but he was stressing there were no limits to what monetary policy can do to address strong risks to the outlook. And, you know, so his commitment.
He said there were no limits?
No limits to what monetary policy can do. He says there's absolutely no change to our stance of aiming to achieve 2% inflation at the earliest date possible and to do whatever it takes to achieve this. Now, what's interesting, this is the next sentence, that if needed, we can deepen negative rates much more.
Well,
they're crazy.
The The Japanese markets expected him to impose a lower negative interest rate. They already have a negative interest rate, as I understand it, and they expected him to go even lower.
They expected some change, correct?
Right, but he didn't.
He held steady.
And he says, we'll do anything necessary, but the result has been, and I'll talk about this a little later in the program, but the result, that's part of the reason why gold jumped over 20 bucks.
Well, sure, it made their currency strong and it dampened. In fact, their yen, I believe, is at an eight-year high, I believe, I read earlier.
Which is deflation.
So,
which is exactly what they don't want. And at the same time, the Federal Reserve also did not change interest rates.
Correct.
And they could have, in theory, raised them, which would have contributed to deflation in this country. By leaving them alone, they actually contributed to inflation in this country. Japan indirectly contributed to inflation in this country by deflating the Japanese yen further. And the net result of both of these central banks have contributed to U.S. dollar inflation on the same day, and I have a hard time believing that's a coincidence. Mm. I think they did it in concert, and I think it's evidence of something we've talked about on this program in the past couple of months. The idea that our government wants inflation. We went through an episode of about 18 months of deflation on the U.S. dollar index, and it appears to me that our government says, nope, we've had enough of that. We're not going to do any more deflation on the U.S. dollar index. What we're going to do is we're going to make inflation happen. And for us to be inflated, for our dollar to go into inflation and become less valuable, the Japanese yen and the euro and the other four currencies that comprise the alternative currencies on the U.S. dollar index, if our dollar is going down, their currencies have to be going up. When we go into inflation, they tend to go into deflation. When they go into inflation, we tend to go into deflation. Everybody wants inflation, and we have allowed deflation for the U.S. dollar for about 18 months. I think they've terminated that, and they've said, look, now it's our turn. We're going to get inflation, and Bank of Japan, I think, is going along with it.
Well, I think the reason Janet Yellen didn't raise rates because their GDP came out, and that only rose at a 0.5% annualized rate. And they were anticipating a 0.7, and they couldn't even get that. So, you know, it was certainly a big disappointing number, although it was expected to be low. Household purchases, which account for about 70% of the economy, rose at a 1.9% annual pace last quarter, compared with the 2.4% in the first 3 months of last year. So, you know, I mean, it's not a very good, I mean, there's no way she could raise rates with, you know, these types of numbers coming out, you know, about the economy and so forth. What I found interesting in the report was last year's slump in oil prices led to an 86% annualized plunge in capital spending on wells and shafts. This is the most in records back to 1958. And it's just like, you know, these numbers that keep popping up that, you know, they're comparing to, you know, what's happened in the during the Depression since 29, since 58, since the 70s. You know, forget the Great Recession of 2008 and what happened in 2009. A lot of these numbers are comparing our economy to, in various segments of the economy, to, you know, long ago. So things, you know, again, these central banks, it's not China, Japan, the U.S., no one has a solid plan on reviving their slowing economies.
Why do you think that
pushing is? Pushing the central banks and pumping money into the system, no matter how they do it, is not going to revive the world economies. It just places a temporary Band-Aid on everything. Because there's so much debt. It's all of these recessions and everything have been papered over with debt. All of these bubbles have been debt created, have been credit created. And so, therefore, we've never, ever addressed the fundamental underlying problems of these recessions.
Which are? fiat currency.
Absolutely.
This is why they can't deal with this situation. If they deal with this, the truth of the matter, the heart of the matter, in my opinion, is that the whole world, virtually the entire world, for the first time in world history, is running on fiat currencies. They've been tried in the past by one nation here and one nation there, but the majority of the nations were always running on gold or silver. Now we have virtually the whole world running on fiat currency. It is the cornerstone for the New World Order. It's the central power of the central banks. They don't want to give this up. They don't want to give up fiat currency. This is a heck of a racket, right? And it's part of the reason why they can't do anything to solve our economic problems. The problem, the fundamental problem, is fiat currency. It can be just spun out of thin air. They've got to get back to an asset-based currency, not a debt-based currency. That's what our fiat currency is, debt-based. They've got to go to an asset-based currency, which means gold or silver. And they're not going to solve these problems until they go back there. Now, they may try a couple other dances. They may try special drawing rights and Bitcoin, or who knows what they're going to do as an attempt. But they will fight to the death to maintain fiat currencies. And as long as they refuse to admit and face that problem, we aren't going to get out of this situation. I was listening to an interview by Greg Hunter of John Williams from ShadowStats.com. Listened to it last night. I think he interviewed him in the last two or three days. John Williams, it was his contention that there are new figures coming out, revised figures that will be released in the near future, the next couple of weeks, that will indicate that we never really got out of the Great Recession. It has persisted all along, and the only thing we've had are some falsified figures to encourage us to believe there was some sort of a recovery. But according to Williams, if I understood him correctly, there will be new numbers coming out in the next couple of weeks that will revise previous economic indicators and say, oh, by the way, turns out we really were in a recession all this time, which is what we've been telling you on this program. You know, periodically we talk about it every couple of weeks.
I'm glad they're finally listening.
We're telling people, no, we never did. We didn't
I'm
get
glad they're finally
we're
listening
still in the
to
recession.
Us now.
Pardon me?
I'm glad they're finally listening to us.
Well, I understand the weight of our commentary has finally broken their
like, hello, fellows.
But, you know, it's another one of those things. Oh, wait, look at that. The truth is coming out. You know, how amazing. Who would have imagined? You know, we've got Trump trying to tell us the truth. We have economic indicators that are maybe going to be truthful. What a surprise. You know, we're getting away from the lies and having to face the truth and deal with it. I think it's a wonderful thing. It won't be a painless thing, but you can't keep the lies running forever. And that's part of the reason we are finally going to have to face the truth, which means, among other things, if it's true that we ultimately, that our fiat currency is going to fail, this debt-based fiat currency has to fail within the next couple of years, and it could happen before the end of this year. I'm not making that prediction. I'm just saying it could happen at any time, and I can't see how it could last for more than a couple more years. When it does, almost certainly we have to go to a gold or silver and or silver-based currency, and when we do, the price of gold and silver is going to have to go up, up, and up. There's no way it's going to have they can't create a gold or silver based currency at current gold and silver prices. In order to go back to a gold or silver based currency, there's people who've looked at it and calculated you need to have $50,000 or even $65,000 gold. Yeah. Under those circumstances, it's possible to go when gold is priced at that level. Yeah, then we can have a gold based currency. But until we get away from that fiat.
Well, the $50,000 is based on the amount of debt, the world debt.
Yeah, that's
so,
what
you know, that but debt will be eliminated. So, you know, so I anything can happen, but I wouldn't expect gold to go to $50,000. It could based on the debt, but they're also going to eliminate the debt. So,
they're going to talk about eliminating the debt, but here's the problem. As always, one man's debt is another man's asset.
True.
If we just sit back and say, hooray, we're going to eliminate the debt. Yay! When we eliminate the debt, we also eliminate the value of, they say we've got $19 trillion in debt. That's the official. There's reason to believe the real debt might be over $200 trillion. When they eliminate the debt, and we get out from under $19 trillion and maybe $200 trillion worth of debt, yay! We also eliminate somewhere between $19 trillion and $200 trillion worth of U.S. bonds and other investments denominated in fiat, in fiat dollars. I mean, you can't eliminate the debt without eliminating the paper capital that we've been running on all along, which suggests to me that while I expect them to eliminate the debt, and it's going to cause grievous harm because it's going to wipe out trillions and trillions of dollars of paper capital, people holding pieces of paper, a bond, stocks, whatever. Say, ha, I have a bunch of money. No, you don't. You don't have. You got nothing but an IOU.
Well, I know that, but no, you're saying when you were talking about financial instruments, I'm adding cash to your list.
Yeah. Well, if they wanted to keep the debt, if they wanted to, or if they wanted to keep some of the debt and not destroy all of the paper capital, then they're going to have to raise the price of gold dramatically. And it won't just be to $5,000. If they have to go, if they have to go to a gold-based currency, if we keep half the debt, we're still going to have $25,000 an ounce gold, and that's just a ballpark figure. I'm just spitballing with the numbers there. But we're not going to keep, this gold isn't going to keep hanging out around $1,250, $1,260, $1,300, whatever. There are big things coming, and among them will be some dramatic increases in the price of gold. You know, so far this year, gold's going up an average of $50 a month. All right? Actually, a little more than that, more than $50 a month as of this moment. Now, what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. I mean, last trading day of the month is tomorrow. I don't know. What's going to happen? I don't know for sure, and I don't worry. But gold is going to close out up about $200 for the first 4 months, and maybe $210, maybe more. I don't know. But still, $50 a month average for the first 4 months. I don't expect that trend. It can be diminished, but even if we only go to $25 a month increase in the price of gold, if it increases $25 a month for the next 8 months of the year, it did $50 a month for the first 4 months. If it does $25 a month for the next 8 months, we're still talking a couple hundred dollars more on the price. We're talking $1,400, $1,450, something like that, gold at the end of the year. And in my opinion, it's not impossible. I'm not saying it's likely, but it's not impossible that gold can continue to rise at $50 a month on average. If it does, we're looking at $1,650 for gold by the end of the year. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But it certainly could. If it continues to increase in price at the same rate it has for the first 4 months of this year, we'll see $1,650 by the end of this year.
There's more of a likelihood that it's going to go to $1,650 than $700. So.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, so folks, I say no more. I bite my tongue. But before we go into the break, I want to finish up with the market report. The Dow was down 210 points today. 17,830. The NASDAQ was down 4,805, and the S&P was down 19, 2,075. 10-year yield, that's beginning to drop a little bit, 1.84%, down 0.02. And, of course, with the weaker dollar, you had the euro climb 1.14, up 0.28. And, of course, Japan on that news was down 3.6%.
All right. Does that mean we're going
to
take a break?
Now we can go to break. Now we can go to break.
Oh, goody. I love the breaks, Melody. I'm Alfred Adisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, we do have great prices on everything, and with me being a little under the weather this week, I really haven't come up with any specials for the program, but that didn't stop many people from giving us a call and purchasing their gold and silver coins, because everything's a great deal here at Discount Gold and Silver. So thank you, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Fractional pieces are great. 1/10th ounce American Gold Eagles are great to have. Swiss francs are great to have. British sovereigns are great to have. Far exceeding the fundamentals of owning over grams. Again, you know, every once in a while, I don't know, we go through these little spurts. I get a lot of calls about grams. And so then I have to talk about grams. And again, grams, you pay way too much for your grams, for what people are charging you. Gold has to go to 2,000 plus to break even. So it really does not benefit the little guy who can't buy gold. You know, it doesn't benefit the little guy whatsoever. It basically is taking advantage of the little guy when he should be buying silver, or even a 1/10th ounce American Gold Eagle is the perfect item to purchase. Yes, the smaller you go in the size of your gold coin, you do pay more. But that doesn't mean you can't own it. You just don't want to overpay for it like you do on those grams. And again, you put a little gram bar in one hand, and you put a little 10th ounce American Gold Eagle on the other hand, and what do you think most people would choose? 99% would probably choose the gold coin. And these are just little things that you can do when you're looking out there looking and hearing about various products for sale. Does it make sense? And if it doesn't make sense to you, call us, and I'll help explain it. So Alfred.
Okay, we got an article here from Reuters, weak U.S. factory consumer confidence data, cloud growth outlook. Orders for long-lasting U.S. manufactured goods rebounded far less than expected in March as demand for automobiles, computers, and electrical goods slumped, suggesting the downturn in the factory sector was far from over. Tuesday's report from the Commerce Department also implied that business spending and economic growth were too weak, were weak in the first quarter. They've only implied this. We don't have to be afraid, Melody. They haven't said it. They've just implied it up until now. Prospects for the second quarter darkened after another report showed an ebb in consumer confidence in April. Who's this? Milan Moraine, deputy chief economist at TD Securities, said these disappointing reports will likely add to the caution at the Fed. Given the weak performance of these two segments of the economy, we expect the rebound in growth momentum in the second quarter to be quite weak. We're going to see a rebound, Melody, but it'll be quite weak. That's their prediction. Do you think we'll really see a rebound? I mean, a real rebound?
Yeah, we're going to have a rebound into the tank.
Yeah, I understand.
The deeper hole. We're going to have a rebound into the deeper hole.
We talked about this earlier in the program. Pointed out John Williams from shadowstats.com, talking to Greg Hunter on USA Watchdog recent interview. And Williams has said there's new information coming out that's going to be released in the next couple of weeks that we have never really escaped from the Great Recession. We've been in it all along. There has never been a recovery. There is revised data coming out, and people are going to be forced to say, oh, well, how about that? We've really been in a recession for virtually all of President Obama's administration. And this is an extraordinary situation because while we're in this 8-year-long recession, right? What other fascinating and record-breaking phenomena have we seen and experienced? And the other record break that we are breaking at the same time is that the Obama administration has borrowed as much. They've increased the national debt they've doubled it as compared to what all the previous presidents, 43 presidents before Obama, and all of them put together. The total debt, when Obama took office, he has doubled. In one administration, he's added more debt than we had in the previous 43 administrations put together. You look at that and think about it, and you have to sit back and say, you know, this is a heck of a problem. This is an extraordinary problem. They've doubled the size of the national debt. It took 225 years to get up to what they admit, $9 trillion, something like that. Now we're up to $19 trillion that they admit to, and it may be much greater than that. But according to the official records, we've doubled it in 8 years. That tells us that the government has expended a mind-boggling sum of currency to try to prevent us from going into a greater depression. And they haven't really succeeded. The most they've been able to accomplish is to kind of hold the line. And you got to give them credit for that. But I mean, at what cost? They've gone so far into deep. We didn't go into a Great Depression, at least not yet. Government was able to hold the line by expending enormous sums of money. They can't spend those sums anymore. The government, they can't raise taxes significantly because the economy's in a recession. I'm not saying they won't raise taxes. I'm not saying they absolutely can't. But they can't generate much more tax revenue. And they may not even try because we're in a recession. I mean, it's going to be hard to float an increase in taxes. And the government can't borrow much more money. Where are they going to get the revenue to continue to stimulate this economy in order to try to hold the line and at least prevent it from going deeper into a recession and or depression? Everything we see is just, it indicates, for me, I trace this back to the fiat currency. On the one hand, it's easy for government to spin this currency, government, the Federal Reserve, to spin this currency out of thin air and supposedly use it to stimulate the economy. But for whatever reason, the public's not buying it anymore. This fiat currency, it's like styrofoam peanuts. You might be able to feed some styrofoam peanuts to the elephant every once in a while, and he might chew them up and swallow them. But pretty soon, the elephant's going to realize these aren't real peanuts. I'm not buying, I'm not taking any more of these styrofoam peanuts to some degree. The people of the United States of America, the people of the world, they're kind of reaching a gag reflex. They're getting the limit. Don't want no more styrofoam peanuts. Give us something real. Don't want more debt-based currency. Want an asset-based currency. And as we said earlier in the program, government and the central banks, the idea of returning to an asset-based currency is anathema to them. If we go back to an asset-based currency, the Federal Reserve becomes a triviality. The government has to behave responsibly. Neither one of them want any part of it. New World Order is probably finished. They want that fiat currency, and therefore they will not face that problem. This is the holy grail of the existing New World Order. It'll be all about fiat currency. That'll be if we don't have fiat currency, there'll be no New World Order. This is their holy grail, and so they'll fight to maintain it. But how can they? We're getting to a point. This is just extraordinary times. And the report I'm reading from, that I was just reading from, talking about weak U.S. factory and consumer confidence data, cloud growth outlook. Yeah, it's just part of the reality. It's a little like getting drunk. There's a point in time when it becomes advisable to vomit. It's unpleasant. It may even be painful. It'll certainly be messy. Nobody likes it. But when you've had too much booze, it's time to stick your finger down your throat and puke into the toilet. All right? Nobody wants to do it. I think depressions, economic depressions, are the same thing. And John Williams, on the interview that he was talking about last night, he says sometimes it's just let the economy alone and it will work it out. Stop the central planning. You guys in the Federal Reserve and in Washington, D.C., you're not smart enough to run the economy. We've done a bunch of dumb things and stupid things, and we've put ourselves in the pair. We have earned a depression in the same way that you can drink enough where you earn an opportunity to puke into the toilet. You've earned it. Go enjoy it. Go hang on to that cold toilet and puke your guts out. That's what should happen. Nobody's going to like it, but you'll be better off tomorrow after you puke. And we will be better. We're not going to get better, in my opinion. I agree with Williams, and I've said this before on the program. I don't think we're going to get better until we have a depression. We have to flush the BS out of our economy. All the things that are overpriced and misvalued. Get into a good old-fashioned depression and just purge the nonsense out of the system. It'll be painful, but it's like getting drunk. You get too drunk, you got to purge. You get too deep in debt, you get too deep in this fiat monetary system, you have to purge if you want to restore the economy. If you don't want to restore the economy, fine. You know, keep drinking.
You know, I'm not even sure I should be getting into this at this point in time when I'm not 100%. But, you know, we talk about the economy and going back. I don't think we're going to go back to what the normal once was. I think this is pretty much what we're experiencing. And I'm not even sure that if you have I think the system has to be purged and so forth. But I think it's just not going to be what it once was. And, I mean, Someone sent me, Dave sent me this article about China. We talked about it the other day. It's going to be in our newsletter this week. And at first, the article talks about this great bridge that China built and so forth. But it also, and yes, China has a lot of problems. But there's still, today there's an article where China is buying up, the Radisson. They're buying up all these hotel chains. They're buying up these movie chains. They bought up Smithfield Foods. It's the largest pork producer and processor in the world. It has facilities in 26 U.S. states. It employs tens of thousands of Americans. It owns 460 farms. It has contracts with approximately 2,100 others. Now you have a Chinese company that bought it for $4.7 billion. That means that China will now be the most important employer in dozens of rural communities all over America. This article goes on and it talks about the profits, talks about how, you know, we're seeing them buy up all of the things that they're interested in. Energy complexes now. Look what Obama has done to our coal. You don't think China's going to come in and help out these miners? You know, in the long run, that they're there for when they can begin to scoop up things. Now, China's going to play a part in returning our economy to where it once was, supposedly. I don't think that's a good thing, and I'm not quite sure what I'm trying to get at here, but, you know, we all talk about the system being purged and going back to what we once were. It's going to be different than what we once were.
It's going to take a while, but you look at Russia, for example. They purged with the collapse of the Soviet Union. They went through a terrible
decade.
They
didn't have another country coming up and buying up all their infrastructure.
Yeah, they
either.
Had people. Yes, we did. We swooped in. The West swooped in to buy all kinds of stuff that was for sale at fire sale prices in what had been the former Soviet Union. There was big news. Oh, these companies are buying the resources. But eventually you get sick of working in a foreign country.
But not governments.
It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. What's the difference? The foreign currency came in and the domestic people didn't own their factories. They didn't own their resources to the same extent they had in the past. They went through a difficult year. Over time, what happened is the resources began to fall back into national hands. All right? I think the same thing will happen here. But what we're looking at with China, this is part of the hangover. This is part of what happens when you have too much to drink. What do? Well, we've been drinking. We've been running up a tab at the local saloon, the Walmart saloon. We've been running up a tab. Put it on my tab, bartender. Drinks around the house. We had a big time. While we ran it up on the tab, we're running into debt. The bartender is now coming and collecting on the debt. He says, let's see, you owe me X number of dollars and you don't have the dollars. Why don't I just take this factory over here instead? Or how about these natural resources? All of this was built in as long as we have been running a trade deficit. They gave our jobs to foreign countries. Great. We wound up running a trade deficit. Now they have a stack of dollars. What are they going to do with them? Hang them on the wall as souvenirs? They're going to spend them somehow. And they're going to say, let's buy some stuff in the United States. You know, what the heck? Who knows? Maybe we can make some money off of it. It's not just a question of China saying we're going to buy American property. It's a question of China saying we're going to dump some of these dollars because I think they're not going to be worth that much much longer. So we got to dump them someplace. So let's go buy some stuff from the Yankees. Might not be what we want, but who knows? Maybe we can protect some of our investment by dumping it. So anyway, it's one of those things where if you're going to live on credit, it's like being happy on alcohol. You can work it for a while, but sooner or later you got to puke. And right now we got to puke. Let's take a break. I'm figuratively speaking.
Yeah,
of course.
Let's
take a break for some commercials. Don't puke while you're listening to commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article here from Money Map Report, which is probably just an infomercial. All right. Nevertheless, it's been around for a while, and it makes some statements which I'm going to presume are true. All right. This isn't precisely a news report, but it's been around for a while, and their headline is Banned Social Security Benefits. Congress outlaws them on May 1st, 2016. That's this coming Sunday. Okay. And they contend that on May 1st, 2016, Congress will officially be ending a critical collection of Social Security's most lucrative benefits. This will cause an estimated $11.41 billion to effectively disappear. It is an historic amount of money. As many as 21.7 million Americans are eligible for large payouts from these benefits. Unfortunately, the vast majority of Social Security recipients have no idea they exist. And here we are reporting from this. They list something like 12 different sets of benefits in their ad, and I'm not reading their ad form and the rest of that. But I'm going to assume that they're telling the truth, and they're saying, you see, all these benefits are going away on May 1st, 2016. That's Sunday. If you are turning 62 by January 2nd, 2016, you're already of retirement age. Even if you're already collecting Social Security, you may be eligible for these benefits. Well, it might be that you're eligible for these benefits, but if they're going to disappear by Sunday, you've only got one day, and that's tomorrow, Friday, to actually capture these benefits. If this is all news to you, assuming this article is telling the truth, I doubt that you're going to have time to learn enough in the next 24 hours to apply for these Social Security benefits, and therefore you are out of luck. But here's the larger point. Right? This is the significance of this infomercial. The larger point is what can't be paid won't be paid. I've been arguing that for 5 years, which seems silly, but it seems like a silly little tautology, but it tells you the debt is already too big, can't pay all the debt. Therefore what? It's not going to be paid. And insofar, if it's true that the government is really shutting down what might be $11 trillion worth of benefits that would otherwise be available to people in Social Security, It's evidence the government's already shutting down some Social Security benefits, and they're doing so in an election year. Right? That shouldn't be possible. Election years, everybody's got, oh, we got to preserve Social Security. They shouldn't touch this. It's been regarded as the third rail of politics for decades. Can't mess with Social Security. Can't touch that. Well, if this advertising is correct, they are touching it. Not hugely, but to a significant degree. It's happening because government knows that soon it won't be able to pay out all that it's promised to Social Security recipients, and therefore it's cutting costs. Government is broke. Can't raise taxes in a recession. It can't borrow as much as it used to. Therefore, in order to make ends meet and maintain the illusion of solvency, government has to cut costs. And in a couple of days, according to this infomercial, $11 trillion worth of obscure but lucrative Social Security benefits will be canceled. You can bet that more Social Security benefits will be canceled in the future. And what's the implication? It's just obvious. It's you need to think seriously about providing for your own retirement, and that means savings. There's another article from Bloomberg. It says how Americans blow $1.7 trillion in retirement savings. You're traveling across the desert feeling parched and looking dirty. You take a long drink of water from your canteen and wash your face with the rest. As you'll discover before you die of thirst in a day or two, you just made a huge mistake, and they mean by wasting water washing your face. Outside of cartoons, nobody's this stupid, but people make the same kind of mistake all the time, putting their current happiness, vacations, flat screens, new cars, way above their future well-being. Economists call this kind of irrationality present bias. And according to the National Bureau of Economics Research Study, it and other biases are holding back millions of Americans from saving enough money for that ultimate future need, retirement. How much money? How much money are they losing? $1.7 trillion. That's 12% of the $14 trillion U.S. individual retirement and 401k accounts. Now, I'm just saying we waste a lot of our future retirement on current impulsiveness. We've tended to shop till we dropped for too long. I won't say we've done, you know, shopping till we dropped was big news in the 80s and the 90s. More recently, we don't hear shop till you drop too much, but we've gone too far. The day will almost certainly come when you'll look at all the junk you bought and stored in your garage and wonder why you ever wasted your cash on all that trash. The day will almost certainly never come when you'll wonder why you spent your cash buying and saving gold and silver coins. If you're a senior citizen, if you doubt that you're going to be able to count on Social Security or government pensions to provide for your retirement, it just makes sense that you take responsibility now as best you can for your own retirement and save every nickel you can find. And do so, save it in a form of wealth that can't be easily destroyed or confiscated by government. That means you need to think real long and hard about whether you want to continue to store your wealth in the form of paper debt instruments, like U.S. government bonds, or in pension funds that are primarily invested in U.S. government bonds. Do you really want to store your wealth in paper stocks? Do you really want to store your wealth in a digital form in a bank account? Are you sure that's what you want to do? You can if you want, but from my perspective, if you want savings that are going to stand the test of time and can't be seized, taken away, robbed by some clever hacker who's broken into a bank account or a social or some other fund, all right, and rob the money digitally, if you want to avoid that digital theft. If you want to avoid the kind of theft that comes from inflation that makes your dollars worth less, You save $1,000 and it turns out they only have $500 worth of purchasing power. You still have $1,000, but you don't have the purchasing power. You've been robbed. It happens with fiat currency. If you want to save your wealth in a form, again, that can't be easily destroyed or confiscated by the government, you're looking for something tangible like gold and silver. You can get into land, you can get into guns and tools, and there's a bunch of other tangible things you can invest in, but the great thing about gold and silver is that they are liquid. You know, you can put your money into land. Great idea. There's nothing wrong with it. Except that if you want to go to the grocery store and get $100 worth of groceries, what are you going to do with that, with those acres of land that you've got? Are you going to sell a couple hundred feet, square feet, to trade it to the grocer for the groceries? Or what are you going to do here? A lot of things you can put your money into that will preserve your wealth to some degree, but when you're looking for both wealth preservation and liquidity, that meaning you can walk to the grocer, I can't give them a quarter of an acre, tenth of an acre, hundredth of an acre, can't do it. I could give them a gold coin. I could give them a silver coin. You know, liquidity. Right? Can you say liquidity, Melody? Huh?
I don't know why I have to. You just said it about 45.
Because I'm feeling like Professor Higgins. Okay? And I just want, we can do the rain in Spain falls mainly on the ground, Melody.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing people, you know, do tend to, you know, think about investing in property and so forth. And you have to remember, you know, property values are high right now compared to where I believe they're going to be going. And that's how, when you preserve your purchasing power with gold and silver, you know, there will be a time when you trade a lot of your gold and your silver to pick up land, to pick up other investments. You know, the old saying, I don't know, in today's world, but at one point in time, it was you would never get rich owning gold. Gold itself wouldn't make you rich, but by preserving your purchasing power and your ability to buy when things were low, that is where your wealth from gold would come from. And because you will be offered all sorts of opportunities when things are hit rock bottom to buy as investments, to buy as a way to place the money that you saved through gold and silver. And so, you know, folks have to take a bigger look at the picture of what gold does and how it will provide and how you will use it. And as we go along, a lot of these things, you know, it's going to be tested as we go along. You know, when will be the right time? I mean, I'm not an advocate of trading, but there are some times when it's good to trade, you know, gold for silver, silver for gold. There's people out there that are doing it all the time. Well, it's not good to do it all the time. So this is why we will be here to help you also during these times. So take a big look at what gold and silver does. It preserves your purchasing power for so many things.
And you can even use it to make a cough syrup.
Maybe.
We have people working in the labs. In fact, there is such a thing as colloidal gold.
Mm-hmm, right? There is.
Yeah, people use it for medical purposes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's colloidal gold, there's colloidal silver, and, you know, there's no easy solution to any of this. There's nothing, you can't just buy gold and expect you're going to live forever. But you can purchase that gold now. And if you are diligent about saving, the day's coming when people are going to be hungry for capital. And they will release a lot. They will trade a lot to get their hands on some real capital, and that capital will not be paper. It'll be gold, it'll be silver. You'll be able to make some fantastic deals. I think all of you have probably heard the story, and we've told it on this program before, about a bellboy during the Weimar Republic when they had the incredible hyperinflation in Germany back in, I think it was in the 20s, 1920s. And the bellboy's working in this hotel, some rich guy comes to the hotel and he gave the bellboy 1 ounce of gold as a tip when everything was running hot. You know, everything seemed strong. Later, when they collapsed into hyperinflation, the bellboy was able to buy the whole hotel with that 1 ounce of gold that he received as a tip. That's the story. I don't know that the story is absolutely true, but it illustrates the kind of thing that is at least potentially possible. If you can protect your savings from inflation and just having it disappear if the bank goes broke or whatever, and you still have capital after the debt is wiped out and the paper capital is wiped out, if you have any real capital, there's going to be a premium price paid. You're going to have an opportunity to, figuratively speaking, buy a hotel for what may have been just a couple of months worth of savings. So that's the kind of world that we're in, or at least we may be approaching. And let's suppose I'm wrong. Let's suppose worst case scenario doesn't take place. Well, you're still not going to be hurt. That's one of the great things about this. You know, there's a bunch of things where we can invest in. You can sit back and say, well, I've got a heck of a deal on, you know, a diamond mine. All right, well, maybe it is. All right, got a heck of a deal on a plant that makes bassinets for babies. Okay, it might be a great deal. But maybe it's not. Maybe it doesn't really work out. You invest in gold, the chances that you're going to lose on this on a long-term basis are just about zero. It may be that the price of gold is going to fall. Right? You're going to have downswings again. We're not, you know, it's not going to be just all up, up, and up. There'll be some downswings. There'll be times when you'll wonder what's going on. But long term, if you're really into savings, if you're really into investing, you can't get around the utility of gold. You can't point to another investment that is likely to do as well as gold is. Certainly not another generic investment. You might be able to point to an individual stock or whatever. Maybe. Long term, common sense, hard to beat gold. We're out of time, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Thanks for listening. Hope you will tune in again. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.